The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 445. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
I don't believe in magic. I don't believe in a lot of things.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Adam Vale.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
And Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
What's going on, man? We don't know what's going on with Carlos. He was here, and then he wasn't here. So he might be on a call or something. Who knows, man? But we are here.
Like Carlos? That's just a force of nature.
Yeah, right? I thought you were like the force of nature,
it's
Brett.
Like, it's like the rain. We had an 80% chance of Carlos. That doesn't mean that there's Carlos.
Says Brett of the Wild. You come in when you leave as you please, you know? Yes. You know, I like that. It's like you know, you're playing Destiny and shit. Shit is going wrong, and then Brett just shows up and saves the day. You know, we like that about him.
Or he comes in, or like in the old Bloodborne games, he comes in with his spike driver, and like just destroys everything.
Yeah. Although Brett, what really happened in real life was the opposite. Like you were fighting some giant monster in Destiny, I show up and just hit him with a bazooka, and he just instantly evaporates in front of you. And I'm like, hey, Brett.
Oh. That was the one thing I liked about Destiny is like you had no notice that your friends were there until like a monster dies and they're standing there like, what's up, man? You're like, oh, hey, what's up?
I kind of enjoyed doing that. Man, I did it to Kari one time too. I jumped into one of his games and fucked up the boss he was fighting. I'm like, hey, Kari.
I just turned on my Xbox and I got that new update, the dashboard. Brett, did it roll out for you? Carlos?
I didn't even check. How's the update?
It looks like PS4. That's it. They gave you more real estate so you could see the image now.
Oh, okay.
So now you could see your background. If you have a dynamic one, you see it pulsing. I have the old school green glob, you know, glowing. And then you'll see as the
toolbar. Too bad we don't have visual aids.
Anybody yeah.
The visual aids. I don't think this could,
visually,
if there was a way to,
yeah. I see Carlos has an Xbox there, but I don't know if we can.
I don't know if he has it.
That's a fake beep up, but ooh, what the fuck?
Yeah,
no, well, it must have just happened a few hours ago because I turned it on earlier to do my FIFA and then came back. No, like, boop, yeah, look at that. All right, yeah. PS4, Xbox edition.
Xbox for life. All right, man, let's get into it. We got questions here, you know.
Wait, what is this? Is Brett doing a visual aid?
Yeah, he is doing a visual aid.
I got some shit.
All right.
Is that live television?
What?
There we go. Simmer. I wanted to see that Xbox dashboard. Yeah, Brett, there's a can like obscuring the view.
Oh, they're nothing to see it. I'm getting there.
Okay. All right.
Oh. Yeah, if you...
We'll await in suspense then. And that, there you go. So who's the suspense? Who bitten? Kiss Shack, subscribe with Prime. Nice. Ooh, I forgot some of the overlay stuff. Give me a sec here. What are we doing now? But I'm getting distracted by Brett over there.
Did you say subscribe with Prime? What does that mean?
He subscribed with Prime because there's a link between Amazon Prime.
That's right.
So there's the new Xbox, overlay. For those of us who don't own an Xbox Series X, what is the difference?
It's you get more real estate for the background, and they put the menu bar at the top.
Yeah, I'll tell you right. Yeah, up here.
Where was it before? My games, there was nothing there. That's new. Because if you wanted to see this information, you had to press on the Xbox glowy button, the jewel, and then you'll see a scroll at the bottom. But now it's right here at the top. So
it's going to do it.
Yeah, Yep. So you got the main game pass, got the app. It looks like it also tells you how many points you have when you're trying to get your monies up.
Dude, I like this. This is it just feels like they're giving you everything. Like, here's everything you need. Like, it's this shit feels easy to navigate. Like, immediately I'm like, okay, so here's literally everything I need kind of on one screen, but it doesn't feel like I'm trying to jam everything in a scroll. It feels pulled back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The settings, before you see the settings is the last gear on the top. But before, you would have to press the Xbox button and press all the way like 4 or 5 times on the right bumper to get to the last tab and then scroll down. Now it's just right there.
Yeah, everything about this like removes like 3 clicks to get to anything I need.
Yeah. The
game pass, it's like boom right here.
Yeah.
Here's my quick bar, and they got a bunch on here, man. They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So all your games, got 8 on here. The store next to it, Game Pass next to that.
This is interesting though. Kishak, and I don't actually agree with his statement here. He says it looks like a PS5 UI. It doesn't look anything like a PS5 UI.
Oh, no. I wish the PS5 let you change your background and stuff.
It looks like PS4 UI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not
far. PS5 gone fuck that up. I wish PS5 would go back to this.
Oh, yeah.
PS5 feels like a very zoomed in version of this. I mean, you get like this, but like half of everything.
What you can do, let me see. All right, so if you turn off the dynamic, they have it set where you can, when you hover over the next game or whatever, it'll switch the background to that game. So it'll start changing your background. So I have it locked with this dynamic, but if you take yours off, it should just start switching depending on whatever you have highlighted.
Yep. All right.
All these games.
Let me leave that here. Let's get into some questions, man. Thank you for showing us, Brett. That's awesome. All right. Jay Shep starts us off tonight. In Phil Spencer's interview on XCast, he emphasized the importance of the digital library and blamed losing this generation's console war on the lack thereof. Even Nintendo has come around to realizing the importance of digital libraries. My question is, should companies really focus on backwards compatibility, knowing that digital libraries are so vital to an ecosystem?
Isn't a digital library kind of the same thing?
It's the same thing.
I was just about to say the same. Yeah, it's like digital library is a back. It's backward compatibility. So yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah. When people are asking and talking about wanting backwards compatibility, they're talking about wanting a digital library. Nobody gives a shit whether. Well, I'd take that back. But most people don't give a shit whether you're selling me a disc that's going to be playable on another console like that. That shit is long gone. We've digitized now. The idea of just being able to play a game from last generation, that's not backwards compatibility. That is digital library now. It's the evolution of the same idea.
I agree. It's important. It's definitely important now because we can do that with other things. You do that with your movies. You do that with your music. You can do that with books. It only makes sense. And I get it. Before, it wasn't possible because that wasn't part of the contracts that publishers had with the platform owners had with these publishers. It wasn't about that. So if you wanted to then move it up to the next one, you had to pay more. But now it looks like they're working out a deal. It's like, hey, listen, once you put on this platform, as long as it's on the same ecosystem and Xbox, PlayStation, and you're going to keep making money because you can keep selling it, can we keep it around? And it makes sense. Instead of having to pull things down, like Nintendo's way of doing it. That's it. It's gone. New generation. People are tired of that. They don't want to keep double dipping for you.
Yo, isn't this what blockchain is kind of like made for? Like, why can't we own shit across multiple platforms? It's kind of bullshit. I feel like this is like one of those things where when they told us about DLC, when they first told us about blockchain, it was going to solve this kind of issue. And then it came out and just made NFTs and then didn't do anything else.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Another one from Jay Shep. Is it possible that PlayStation's Spider-Man 2 and Xbox's Starfield could define this console generation for their respective platforms? We'll have to see.
We don't know. It's impossible to answer. Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of exactly the I'm trying to figure out exactly what it seems like. What do you mean define? Like,
then everybody remember those games. They'll be like, oh, shoot, PS5, that was all about Spider-Man 2.
I feel like in a casual way, yeah. I don't think people go back and be like, oh, that was the Spider-Man 2 generation right there. But like, I think it is the biggest dog, and like, it is their champion, right? Like right now when PlayStation is called to fight and they choose their champion, it is definitely Spider-Man. But like, I don't know that that's defining the generation as much as...
Because usually defining would be a new IP. So yeah, Starfield would qualify in there. For PlayStation, they got other games. It's got to be a new IP that's coming out just for PS5. Because then it's something that you associate with that platform. You know, if you think it's Spider-Man, you're like, well, I played that on the PS4. Yeah, they made a new one, of course, but that's it didn't start there.
Yeah, the only thing I could say is Uncharted 2 defined the PlayStation generation, right? And that was that was a sequel. So it's possible. But again, you know, you already know my answer. Too early to even ask this question. Yeah. You know, we'll have to wait and see. I have no idea. You know, because at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, one is a sequel and then one is just Fallout in space. You know, like that's the most cynical way of looking at it. But I don't know. Jay Shep, thank you. He is here with us. He goes, will there be a better game for either platform this generation? I don't know, man.
Yeah, we don't know.
It's impossible to answer that. Wait, these games could both be shit for all we know.
Yeah.
So we don't know.
Beyond that, like, I feel like Starfield could define what Microsoft is bringing to the table, because it's like it's such a big game. It's its own game. It's not a sequel. I just feel like there's something, and maybe it's just me, but like Spider-Man 2 isn't the kind of game, no matter how good it is, that you feel like this is the PlayStation. Because I guess it's a borrowed IP, right? Like as much as they're doing this from the ground, like it's not a Sony product from the ground up. And I think that kind of is maybe why I don't feel like Spider-Man defines what PlayStation is doing right now. You know, I feel more like God of War is.
Yeah, because it's a PlayStation one.
Yeah, it's a weird one, because it's like it definitely like is like it's something that is really unique to PlayStation, right? I mean, to be honest, like this Spider-Man game kind of has been like the, you know, that older Spider-Man game that was made for PlayStation 2 or the ones that they attempted later, like that sort of game sort of shined up to its, you know, ultimate sheen, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, at least those sorts of Bethesda games, there is nothing like that on a PlayStation at all, like made by the first party, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, when was the last time? Because Sony hasn't needed to come out with one of those games, you know. They haven't come out with a Watergate game for a minute. And despite them having some amazing games, I just don't know that they were that type of game.
They don't. I mean, and also, what is it? Fallout is considered an RPG, right?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It is. Fallout and the other one are considered RPGs. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like Sony does not have an RPG.
No,
Destiny. They got Destiny-ish, because Destiny hasn't been blocked from every single console, right?
No, it's on everywhere. It's on free.
Everything. Yeah.
Like in other words, like I think that Destiny is gonna they're also continuing to let Bungie continue to make games for other consoles.
Apparently, right? That was their deal. The Bungie said the only way they would do it is if they stayed third party. They want to be on all platforms.
They want to be on all platforms. So yeah. So in other words,
all the games, Marathon, all of them.
Marathon and all. So yeah. So the only big thing that they, you know, they're still so they unlike the thought of with Call of Duty, at least they are like, hey, we want to be multi-platform. So, but again, like they don't is Spider-Man 2 the game that will define the generation
for PlayStation?
I don't know, but to be honest, like I feel like. Right now, like out of the two right now, like Sony doesn't have any new franchises yet. Like this generation hasn't had one. We haven't had one for a while now.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Like they've had put out, you know, that, you know, Ratchet and Clank's a sequel, you know, the God of War games, those are sequels. Last of Us is a sequel, So Horizon's a sequel, all stuff that is all left over from the PlayStation 4 generation.
Yeah, and Ghost of Tsushima's new, you know, but that was last gen.
Ghost of Tsushima's new again. Another, if they make a sequel, it's just leftovers from the previous generation. Yeah,
and those games that you mentioned are also last gen games as well.
They're all last gen games. Exactly. So what is the, what if we're going to say this generation, what's the game that's going to be defining this generation for, so for PlayStation? Because all, everything is all just stuff that's been inherited or established from before. Unlike during the 4 era and the 3 era, they were all making new things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way of the industry,
but I agree with Tony. It could be a sequel can define a generation. I mean,
Final Fantasy VII defined a fucking generation, and that's a seventh one.
But Final Fantasy is also a unique situation. Why is that? Because each Final Fantasy is a new game.
Yeah, that it's is called true.
Final Gear, Fantasy. Metal Gear Solid 4 defined a generation.
Metal Gear Solid 4, did that define
a generation? I wouldn't say that, but Carlos, there's another one for you. No. GTA 3.
GTA and 3, GTA 5. Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, and GTA 5, that's right. So, a sequel can define a generation, you know, even broadly speaking, not just for a platform. But again, it is way too early to have this conversation. We don't know.
You know? Yeah, I will say that I do disagree with something Brett mentioned.
Uh-oh.
He mentioned
we try to keep it civil,
but sometimes, you know, we have some disagreements, maybe just once every couple of shows.
That's it. Meet me outside.
So I do disagree with when he said Starfield is the type of game that defines Microsoft.
I don't know. It defines Bethesda. Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I was thinking.
It defines a system. It defines a platform. It doesn't define Microsoft. It's just that feels like the kind of game when you look back and you're like, oh, yeah, Xbox Series X, that's the one with Starfield, right?
That'd be when it first showed up. Yeah, if it's a hit, yeah. Or even if it sucks, because then it'll be like, remember that Epic fail? Yeah, I do.
Okay. So if you're talking about the platform, I do agree. The only thing that I misheard, but you said like that's the type of game that defines the way Microsoft is going. But you know, Microsoft, you know, Starfield can't go like that with Starfield, because it's literally a game developed by a team that releases a game once every almost decade, and they're not going to release a Starfield anytime soon. And then everyone else under the umbrella does completely different games than Starfield / Fallout / Elder Scrolls. I would say that Spider-Man is kind of defined what PlayStation tries to do, because it's a third person, story based single player game, like most of the games that define what PlayStation does, like a God of War, like Horizons, Ghost of Tsushima. So that was my quick.
But see, don't you think that's kind of the issue in and of itself? Like, if you can say it's one of those games, it doesn't really define anything, because it's part of a larger series. And like that, I love those games. PlayStation does a great job of those games, but they make more than a couple of those games, right? Like, Ghost of Tsushima, third person action adventure. You know, it is God of War. It is, and you know, they come out with a lot of the same kind of experience. And don't get me wrong, I fucking love those games. I play all of them and I beat them. But it's not super different, and I think that makes it more difficult to define something, right? Like, we're gonna look back and remember Spider-Man 2 as a great game, not, oh man, that game was on the PlayStation. Like, you know, it's not going to immediately make us think of PlayStation 5. I don't think that says anything about the game. I think that just says more about the nature of like how a human brain works. Like, a singular standout entity is always going to be more impressionable than part of a series, no matter how impressionable the series. And I don't mean that in strictly an actual series. I just mean that like it's going to be tough for PlayStation to define themselves with, quote, another Sony game.
Well, I will say this. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The thing that I will say about that, though, is we're 3 years into the generation. We can't say a game that's defined the PS5.
Yeah.
There's not a single
one. Or Xbox, you know.
Or Xbox. So, you know, that's why, you know, the question came about, you know, these two games that, you know, a lot of people have a lot of faith in, including myself and a couple of others in the panel, especially with Insomniac. And me and Brett with Bethesda. So, you know, thinking about those games, they always, every time they release one of those types of games, we know it's probably going to be a hit. And with the absence of all the games that, you know, of all the experiences that we haven't experienced yet with the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, here comes two games that maybe the most bulletproof to come out that are actually exclusive to that generation, unlike the bullshit with God of War Ragnarok and Horizon Zero Dawn that came, or Forbidden West that came out for the previous consoles, and Ratchet and Clank, which only came out for PlayStation 5, but it released for PSV for PC, and you can play with a freaking hard drive. So,
not well, from what I'm hearing, though, hurrying it runs a little chuggy on a hard drive.
No, it runs great on the Steam Deck, but that's
SSD. Yeah, that's
SSD. Bro, none of these options are actually even exclusive to their respective console. Like, I think the only reason that that Starfield feels like a defining thing for Xbox is because it's literally the only thing Xbox is bringing to the table. It's the first time that they've been noticeable or like worthy of like paying attention to. So it's, I don't necessarily know that that's a good thing, because you're like, oh yeah, that game defined Xbox because it was so great. No, because there was no other games. You know, I think having a lot of games is a good thing, but how are we going to have a game that defines a generation when we haven't had an exclusive yet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, yeah, an Xbox especially.
Yeah. To define a year? Sure. Define a time period? Sure. Define a generation? Yeah, we haven't even started as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Kishak was also joining us tonight. When PC players say they pirate games to benchmark them and then go and buy them later, or when they say they're waiting for de novo to be removed before purchase, what percentage of those people actually believe what they're saying, or are they just bullshitting themselves to look morally superior?
It's covering their ass. That's what they do. That's all it is.
This question is fucking hilarious, man. Yeah,
it's just covering their ass.
I'm just partying at the test, but I'm just fucking it.
Bro, you are calling people out in the yard. It's fucking great.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
It's just to cover their ass for what the shit they're doing, because you know they're going to get the questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yep. Other people have benchmarked this. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go and do independent research for the good of all mankind.
Because we sign embargoes. You can't release that stuff. Even if you do a benchmark, they tell you don't release this information until after X date. So if you're doing it beforehand and doing it, that's you breaking embargoes. So no, you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, so it's like,
Only benchmarking is like trying to convince somebody you're a female body inspector.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, okay, bro.
No. I'm supposed to be doing this wildly illegal thing without anybody's permission. I'm doing it for the good of people. Don't you understand?
It's for the people.
The people.
If you really think about it, it's kind of like Batman.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. There are a lot of these sorts of, and this is journalists, right? Doing this?
No, this is PC gamers being pirates.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. No, okay. And yeah. If it's
and justifying the their piracy by going, oh, I'm just testing it. Oh, I'm just waiting for this DRM to be removed. Like, okay, bro. Pirate, you know.
Here's the thing. Like, I mean, there is like a lot of like, obviously because of, you know, because of just like the way certain games are just sort of kept, you know, they're done, right? Like, there are a lot of also, I would say, like people that are like, you know, YouTubers and also, you know, journalists that have done this in the for the sake of benchmarking. And to be honest, I don't think
pirate games. Some of those,
yes, or using sort of emulators and all that sort of stuff. I would say, like, number one, obviously, yes. If there's a way to be able to get this, your hands on this, do it. But also, like, you also have to, they also need to, and I think a lot of these guys don't seem to do this. They don't do their due diligence and tell you what they're doing. You know, they tell you what they're doing, but this also can open the door for people to further pirate even something that is not available. You know, that's something that is available. And I feel like a lot of times they don't make this sort of stuff clear. You know, they're just like, oh, yeah, I did this. I'm like, okay, so now you just train somebody on how to do this shit.
Either you don't need to do it, or if you're doing it for a community, you're probably building some sort of income. Or if you're not, like, I'm sorry, you're talking to people like, dude, we shell out of pocket for some of the shit that we give away. You can buy your own games that you're reviewing. Yeah. If that's what you're doing, even if it's in like a casual sense, like even if you're just like, oh, you're the heavy hitter in Reddit and people look to you for your opinion and your coverage of these games. I mean, that never happens. If you can't sense the sarcasm. But if you are that guy and you bring that kind of asset to the table and people depend on you like that, then you can chill out for the game.
Why not go and buy the game and then start monkeying around with it, right? But you know, a lot of these guys are not, and that's part of the reason why game developers put all kinds of the fucked up shit inside of their games when they know that people are gonna go in and fuck with the game. You know, like a pirate. What was it? Like some of the like games like Hitman, like literally have like they disabled important weapons and things in the game for people who pirated the game, and all kinds of other games. Other games do that too. Where they do something sneaky to the game, and then the guys come in and be like, "So I can't get past this level because of this." I was like, "Oh yeah, well you just pirated the game, didn't you?"
Yeah.
Well, and I know some people are gonna be like, "Well, bro, the game company's trying to trick you, so it's I want to be able to try a game before I spend my money." And like, don't get me wrong, I agree with that, but I don't think that the idea of like hate to be old school about it, like two wrongs don't make a right, man. Like if you're mad because of shrinkflation and the size of Doritos. The response is not to go to your local grocery store and just start eating Doritos out of the package in the middle of the store that refuse to pay for it. That's just being a dick, right? Like, you're not fighting the issue. You're not even fighting the right people. You're just kind of
breaking the law. Problems
and being a dick.
Yeah, that too.
Breaking the what?
Breaking the law.
Yeah, but real quick, I want to go to something Kishak said here about Ratchet and Clank on PC. The game runs great on a hard drive with 64 gigs of RAM and a 4090 with 24 gigs of VRAM. You know how much that shit there would cost?
The game runs great on my $2,400 PC.
But how much is
the 4090 itself is like $1,200.
But here is the thing about Ratchet. At no point did they say it didn't run on anything like a cheap system, right?
Yeah.
Well, remember,
their marketing when the game first came out was this game can only run on PlayStation 5. Obviously, that's false.
No, obviously it's false. But hey, people are complaining about the fact that game runs on a can't run so well on a non-solid state hard drive, which people have experienced, which is why they were using that solid state. So does it make it wrong?
No, it doesn't make it wrong. But to get it to run on a regular hard drive, look how much you need, man.
Well,
SSD though. It'll be cheaper just to get an SSD drive.
Look how much you need. And isn't the whole PC space all about modding up and doing all kinds of crazy shit to their computers, right?
I just don't get it, though. No, none of this makes sense because why is it verified then on a Steam Deck, which clearly doesn't have, a 4080 or any of this stuff?
But it does have a solid state.
But you then go pay $100, get a solid state, put that as a secondary, put the game on it, and that's too. It.
Yeah, instead of just working with this hard drive.
Instead of doing all that other stuff and buying crazy video cards.
Yeah, you could do that too, people. Just buy an SSD.
You could have it installed on an SSD.
Secondary drive.
Instead of buying a fucking 4090, it's got an SSD. Anyway, Brett, what's up, man?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just... an SSD, it's programmed to pull off an SSD quicker. It doesn't necessarily, go the weight and complexity of a system. And, if you're talking power strictly, don't flex, this shit can only run on a PlayStation. A PlayStation... comparatively is still super fucking weak in the world of computers. That's like sitting there being like, bro, you can only get those kind of speeds on a big wheel.
To be fair,
Xbox was saying that bullshit too. Xbox is so powerful it'll eat monsters. Remember that shit?
The kind of monsters that PCs never notice? It is the nature of the world that we live in. The consoles shall always trail behind PC.
Yeah.
It is an immutable law of the universe.
It's a toy.
Well, it's always as technology gets better and the consoles are getting older, PCs will always come ahead. Now, the thing is, I would have to call into question people that play their console. It's like it's like having an advanced, one thing that is literally high end, and one thing is just literally, I'm going to say this to you guys, it's the under TV VCR, it's the friggin' DVD player. That's what it is. It's the general audience sort of device. So general audience devices may be advanced for what they are, but they are not going to be always the top of the line. And as long as the format stays the same for that sort of generation, and they're not constantly asking people to replace their devices just so that they can play things that are, better, play things that are coming out, I think that it is going to be what it is. And you just have to be okay with that.
Yeah, right? If someone's obsessed with graphics and all that stuff, then get out of consoles. That's it. Just stick with it.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're obsessed with graphics, there's two levels of that. If you're obsessed with console graphics and the console graphics are doing it for you, then why the fuck not? It's your console. It's doing it. But I think people get the FOMO when they start seeing, the PC can do these things a little bit better. Yes, if you have a expensive PC or you have all these things in there, yes, your PC version will look worlds better than what's on the console.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here. Another one from Kid Shack. Do you actually believe Phil Spencer when he said that the Xbox Series X is their mid-gen refresh and that they won't have an answer to the PS5 Pro? Will Xbox be crazy enough to have three different SKUs for developers to work on? I imagine that would piss off some developers off for having that many consoles to develop on. They've already done that. When this generation started, they had to develop for three consoles: the Xbox One, the Xbox Series S, and the Xbox Series X. They already did that. They've already done that. As for that statement, I said this during the show. I think it's bullshit. I'm like, how can a console that you released 3 years ago be your mid-gen refresh? That's impossible. It already came out. Does that make any fucking? Yes. That's such a stupid statement, you know.
Unless they're thinking of Xbox as like the Xbox One to the Xbox One X, or the Xbox Series X is like it's still considered the same thing. You know what I mean?
No, I don't get it.
They're considered, even though the
Xbox One.
Maybe he's analyzing his statement. Well, maybe he's saying that it's a mid-gen refresh because they're considering that from the one X to the S is
considered. You got to go a long way around for that to make sense.
No, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense.
Dumb, you know.
I think it's a odd statement, to be honest. The real thing about this is I don't think that they're going to do a mid generation refresh. I think if anything, they'll put out a new one and it'll just be called Xbox. Series SX or something. They like using S's and X's. Maybe they'll put something else that's a little bit better than that, but I think they're just seeing all this as one generation now. I don't think there's going to be, I don't think it's just going to be like a new console anymore.
Yeah.
Series S, Series X, S, F.
Stupid. It was stupid to say that.
Series F. There we go. That'll be the next one.
Series F. Yeah. Series L. How about that?
Why do they need to have
the Surface?
No. Why did they need a response? Why did that need a response? Right.
Yeah. Why do they need to have a response to the?
They don't need to have a response because the thing about it is like in general, and we keep telling this to people, like they're not worried about the fucking console anymore.
No.
The console is like, okay, they'll probably continue to put out the console, but in general, it's not the console. It's not about the console. It's about the service.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have a newer console that'll support the service, yes, they will. But will it be all about that console? No, it won't.
They're not going to keep pushing out. Those days are...
Yeah.
Well, okay, so like I kind of feel like it would go something like, hey kids, we got a brand new console out that does brand new stuff. The new exclusive hyper badass Uber PS5. Uber PS5, right? And you're like, awesome. What does this Uber PS5 do? And they're like, well, it's 30% better at literally everything. Okay, that's awesome. Best case scenario. So what are we going to do with it? Nothing, because the system is still tied to the PS4 and we're still going to release PS4 games. So all that extra power is just going to fucking sit on a shelf. Like, none of this matters because we've put in limiters, right? Like, until we get the lowest common denominator not holding back console generation, they could come out with a literal fucking genie. It's not going to do anything because it's limited to just what the PS4 can do.
Or limited to the Xbox Series S, you know?
Limited to the Series S because...
It's cut to whatever the lowest common denominator is. So, honestly, if you want to talk about, like, a functional jump in power for the end consumer, we don't need hardware for that, and hardware is not going to fix that. What's going to fix that is being like, hey, we're not developing for this shit system anymore.
You know?
Which is the thing that, like, really concerns me about Microsoft, because I got to publicly tell you guys when I'm shitting on Microsoft, so y'all notice it. But like, the problem here is like, if Sony can come out and just ditch that, they just be like, look, we have new high powered shit. Microsoft has made a public commitment to babysit their retarded little brother. Is how I kind of view like them making this thing with their Series S. Like, no matter what, they're like, oh yeah. My retarded little brother just gonna come along for all of our adventures, no matter what. Sure, it's a little stupid. Sure, it's a little slow. Sure, it ruins everything that we try and do and does it in an infinitely lesser degree. Stops us from being able to do cool shit, like go hang out with Baldur's Gate. I'm actively mad about that. Like, bro, I want to play Baldur's Gate. And Microsoft, your shitty slow system is fucking everything up. Just Sony is free to walk away. Microsoft has tied themselves to that albatross. And I honestly, like, that's bad. That's bad. Like, I don't know how they're going to get away with this other than I'm just going to have to wait 8 years for something visually impressive from Microsoft if I want to keep supporting them as a company. Like, bro, that's... Y'all making this real hard. I want to own more than one system. But, like, you're not bringing the competition to the table and you're making this real tough. It's Microsoft can't get away from it. And I'm just, if you can't tell, I'm fucking frustrated by that shit because it's ruining everything.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Atari 2600. I love the name, man. With rumors of Insomniac working on a third game, would you like to see a Spider-Man 2.5 where you play as Venom? Who's to say you don't play as Venom in this game? We don't know.
Well, you do play as Venom. Like,
yeah, you kind of do.
Yeah, they showed that in the trailer.
I think you were saying, do you play as Symbiote? And yes, you play as the Symbiote.
Yeah, okay, so there's your answer. So, people have been talking about this third game. I wouldn't be surprised if it's another Ratchet and Clank, to be honest, you know?
Yo, it needs to be its own thing. It would be great.
I would love it if it was its own thing.
You want to talk about genre...
Insomniac could do it.
Defining.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to do a generation defining, like if Insomniac is working on something just for PlayStation, they are brewing something up special for Sony, that shit is console or generation defining.
Agreed.
I guarantee you. No matter what they're doing, I don't care what they're doing, it's Insomniac. If they're doing something from the ground up, shit's going to sing.
Yeah, they've proven that, you know. They're the MVPs of this generation for Sony, you know? All right, let's move on here. That was a quick one. Dumeke, who's joining us in the chat tonight as Blitz. In your opinion, which company has the most consistently great soundtracks in their games? See, back in the day, I would have said Capcom, full stop, you know? Nowadays, I don't feel many companies make good soundtracks anymore. Because they're mostly trying to be like movies where it just blends into the background, which is cool, but it makes it forgettable. You know, that's why I think it was in 2017 where we had like Persona and Yakuza, a couple other, and Nier Automata come out. I'm like, holy shit, these games have good music. What happened? These games don't have this anymore. You know, or I should say memorable music, because the music is still good in games. It's just memorable music is like gone in games for me, you know?
But just noticeable. Like that's noticeable, one of the things I do like about like fucking Remnant is the one that I'm playing right now that you notice the game. Like for some reason it's one of those like Yo, is that here? When does a boss fight come? Does like that shit slap? It gets all kinds of epic up in this bitch.
Yeah.
I think From Software generally does a good job in that. But even then, it's kind of just one of those. You just kind of notice it halfway through the boss fight. You're like, bro, I think it's difficult because unless you're Persona and you're like, check out my cool music. Yeah, what you're trying to do is support the action. And like, what else was a good one? The Lord of the Rings game where you fucking Shadows of Mordor had a bumping soundtrack.
You know, Brett, it's funny. I love Shadows of Mordor. I love Elden Ring. If you played me any music from those games, I wouldn't recognize it.
Well, no, it's not even that it's recognizable. You know? It's have you ever had that moment where like you're in the middle of kicking a boss's ass and you're really feeling it and you just kind of notice this epic orchestral music kind of playing in the background?
Not in Elden Ring.
No?
Nope.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, Elden Ring actually, I mean, it's interesting because Elden Ring 90% of the time does not have any music in it. And the only time ever hear music, and this is for any of the Souls games, is when whenever the boss music happens. Yeah.
But Brett, again, that's not an indictment on Elden Ring. That's an indictment on most games that I have.
Well,
you know,
and let me ask because I'm curious about your qualifier here. Yeah. Like, what if we move it like to like? Because honestly, I don't think it's realistic to say like that has to be. Memorable music in a video game has to be to the point where, like, if I played it for you on the train, you'd be like, oh, it's from this game. Let's just say memorable music as a video game is just something that, like, does its job real well. Like, it doesn't have to be something you're humming on the way home. But well,
that's kind of the problem, though. If it does its job well, I'm not going to notice it. You know what I mean? Like, good music kind of shouldn't call attention to itself. You know what I'm saying? If it's trying to set a mood. Like, I remember the mood that I was having in, like, a certain movie or game, but I won't remember the music itself. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if a music...
I don't remember God of War's music, but I felt like the music in God of War was fantastically done.
Yeah, yeah. Like, again, it's a weird thing. It's like, if the music does like its job, you shouldn't notice it. You know, but at the same time, I also enjoyed games from back in the day that had memorable music, you know?
Bro, Sephiroth. That's Sephiroth.
Yeah, exactly, music. Yeah. You remember all that shit. And to make a yes, from Sega abso-fucking-lutely back in the day, you know? Great fucking music, despite the fact that it was on the Genesis with the shitty sound card they had, you know? But yeah,
bro, you could play me the MIDIs from most Sonic levels, and I'd be able to tell you, like, oh, that's Night City.
Yeah, that, by the way, Sonic Mania, you know, I'm not just talking about the remix songs, even the new songs, instantly memorable, you know? I'm like, this is great, you know? But we don't really get too much of that. But I think it's because games are more cinematic now, so they have to have more movie-ish soundtracks. Like everybody tells me, oh, didn't you love the music of Final Fantasy 16? I don't know. I know there was music there. None of it stood out to me, you know? And people were legit telling me, like, oh, man, you get to experience the awesomeness of composer, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know?
It's funny. Final Fantasy 16 music almost sounds like Nier music a little to me.
But the thing is, Nier music stood out to me, you know?
Some of the level music.
Yeah, but it's crazy because the other Final Fantasy games, the music stood out to me. I'm talking about 15, 13. I'm like... this one doesn't, you know?
Man, you humming that battle music from Final Fantasy 13?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, you hear that shit, man? You're ready to go. You play me the battle music of Final Fantasy 16, I wouldn't know it, you know? Anyway, let's get to the question. Which companies do you think have good soundtracks consistently in their games?
I will continue to say Square Enix hits the mark a lot. The from what I've heard of the new game, they do have some pretty cool sounding tracks, very sort of different for a Final Fantasy game. But you know, one cool thing about it is that they worked back the old original theme
into the game. Thing I recognize.
You know, they do work that bit in there.
Yeah, that's the only time I like, music here, you know,
and a couple of other cool themes that they worked in. So yeah, I think that one they're good with that. I still feel like Square does a really good job with that. I haven't heard any of the new Street Fighter stuff, but
it's unmemorable. I don't remember a single. None of those songs are memorable.
I noticed that they started moving away from characters having themes.
Yeah, they don't have themes anymore.
they don't have their themes anymore. Like, you can't, you go to the guy level, you don't hear, you don't hear that anymore.
No, you
which
don't.
Is disappointing.
I think I got two games from one company that you would remember music from, Tony.
Okay, let's see. Let's see.
Does anything pop into your head when I say Skyrim?
No. No. But I never played that game. Yeah. So,
you know. Okay, but you still know that music. Memorable.
Yeah, that is memorable. And yes. The
Fusru Dash. Everybody knows Fallout's music. Everybody knows Fallout's music.
What is Fallout's music?
For cereal?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
Like all of the classic old school, like, I don't want to set the world on fire. That's probably the most iconic, but that's
actual song.
Yeah. That doesn't count. That's like saying Grand Theft Auto has a great soundtrack. Not really.
I count it when James Gunn does it, like putting the right song in the right place is what it's about.
Okay, I disagree.
I guess maybe we should say original soundtrack.
Let's go with original, because like I don't count borrowed music, you know. Mm-hmm. But Skyrim. Yeah, I never even played that game, but I know that fucking Fusru Raw or whatever, you know.
For the King of Skyrim.
So that's that's the one, right?
I'm a bit surprised that we don't I don't know if Starfield's gonna have that, because I feel like we already would have heard that hook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be just very 2001 Space Odyssey, rising synth vocals
Blitz has to be, he's the one asking the question. He says it has to be original music.
Because
Grand Theft Auto games would be fucking easy layups, you know?
Well, okay, no, but here's the thing. Grand Theft Auto just throws that shit on the radio. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I guess I kind of am, aren't I? Yeah, okay, never mind.
And the Fallout games, most of those songs are just trailer musics for commercials. I don't want to
know. And it's funny, when I hear that song, I think of Megadeth, right? Because one of their songs starts like that. It's like, I don't want to set the world on fire. And you hear, you know, fucking nuclear bomb. And then, you know? So when I heard that, I was like, hey, it's a song from Megadeth. Oh man!
Yeah, but I mean, we do notice, especially in games where we expect that kind of shit. Nobody's sitting there being like, "Oh, Grand Theft Auto and their soundtrack." But when you play Saints Row and you check their soundtrack, you're like, "I miss Grand Theft Auto soundtrack."
You know,
But even then, Jet Set Radio, those were original songs. They weren't made for the game, but still, that game fucking slaps. And the whole point of that game is check out that good music. So if you're talking about music made specifically for a game, that's the shit that's always going to fade in the background. You're never going to understand. So even music based games often have their music from somewhere else.
Unless it's this.
Halo. Yeah, true. Did Persona 5 have an all-original soundtrack?
Yes, it did.
That's all original.
That music was so good, I actually bought the fucking soundtrack. I physically bought it.
But was it all original made for that game?
Yes. All of it.
Okay.
All of it. Great fucking music in that game, man. You know? And it's so different from RPG music, you know? Oh, so good. Yeah, it's all original. All original. They didn't fuck around.
What was that? The music game that just came out on Xbox that had good, really good music.
Oh, Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah. Hi-Fi Rush. I was a bit surprised. I was like, this shit's like feels like some Scott Pilgrim stuff. You're like, I'm not necessarily what I'd go out and just buy, but like, this is good.
The Scott Pilgrim. I know that was Anamanaguchi. That's a great fucking soundtrack for that game. You know.
Yeah. The Hi-Fi Rush is a very interesting game because there's actually real music in it.
Oh, is it not original music also?
It is original music, and it's also music that complements it. It's weird. So like when you fight one of the robots, there's at least two Nine Inch Nails songs on there. There's a few other songs by other groups. So it's all a lot of it's licensed music, but it melds with whatever the soundtrack is so well that it seems to fit. Oh, and there's a fun thing about that game. There's an alternate soundtrack. So whenever you play it in streaming mode, they have sound-alike music So, like, what? They actually bothered to have their composers make an alternate version of every song on the soundtrack that sounds close enough like the original, but not exactly. It's weird.
Hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Did everybody go? Their favorite, you know, go ahead, Chris.
I'll say Nintendo has consistently had good music in their games.
Do make it where you at, bro.
Oh.
Bro,
Chris giving compliments to Nintendo.
I will say that.
Are you okay? Do we need to call somebody?
No, I'm gonna
by the way, here's I'm gonna agree with Chris on this one. Those are some memorable ass songs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the controversial about going all the way back to NES, Super Nintendo. I mean, think about it, like Donkey Kong Country and Super Mario World. Zelda's always had great music. Koji Kondo's consistently given awards for his compositions, right? They always had good music. So I think in terms of a company, another Japanese company would throw out there too, who's had good music in many of their games, is Konami.
Oh, yeah.
Konami's had great soundtracks in their games.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
And Metal Gear has had some of the best music I've ever heard.
Yep. Yeah, notice a pattern, right? Japanese companies, you know? Mm. Very interesting. All right,
yo man, let's get Bear McCree some love here.
The first God of War has some good stuff, you know. all right, moving on. Another one from Tumeke. Now that Square Enix and Xbox are friends again, do you expect to see the likes of Final Fantasy VII Remake, Final Fantasy 16 on Xbox, or do you think it'll be continued to the smaller or less AAA style titles? Also, do you think we'll see a Square Xbox exclusive, timed or otherwise? Maybe, I guess. Because what is it? Final Fantasy 14 finally coming to Xbox? So, yeah, that could open the door for 7 Remake and 16 to come. Maybe some others.
And 16 got a date. It's like
not for this Xbox. Time,
yeah, like next year they released.
I thought it was for PC, though.
No, except for Xbox, because people were asking. And they were like, well, it's coming this time next year.
Sure about that? So,
you could Google it, but I'm pretty sure.
Google, because I know it's coming to PC next year. You know,
so like when? Because people were asking, is it ever coming to Xbox? And
was it coming to the?
Well, the thing about it,
Square Enix promises to bring games to. Oh no, that's not Final Fantasy. Xbox submits to release more games on Xbox, starting with Final Fantasy 16. Okay, so there you go, Adam.
Yeah.
Okay, Manny, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, no, go ahead. It's fine.
Oh no, I'm sorry. That's 14. I read the fucking.
No, I don't know
shit, man.
Yeah, it's for. I mean, it's 14. That's the online game that's been on everything.
That's old.
It's been on everything since the PlayStation 3. So, I mean,
yeah, I don't see 16 here, Adam.
It's just like 2 days.
Yeah, look it up, please,
Adam. I think you're talking about 14.
I think you're talking about 14.
No, because that was old already.
No, but it's just getting out. It just got announced. You're talking about 14, dude. You're talking about 14.
That's still a big deal.
It is a big deal because it literally is one of the biggest online RPGs, and you know.
Yeah, Adam, so you're talking about 14, bro.
They're still diligently updating it. A lot of people believe that
it's still one of the biggest MMOs out there. Like,
it is a healthy active and, MMO community.
Yeah,
and not to mention, they say that game has a really incredible story for an MMO. So yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely is a big deal that it's coming to Xbox because it's, you know, it's on everything, and I'm sure all of their games are all connected or whatever. We'll see what they do. I don't know if they're cross platform, but it is big that it's on there. It's crazy to say, but yeah, an old game like that.
It's going to be cross platform, so there's like a whole group of people, like, you know, unless you have like, and this is a problem, like unless you have a PC, you know, it's tough to find MMOs. So like, a new MMO coming to a console is like, okay, we just went from two MMOs available to three, and it's one of the most acclaimed games of all time. So it's
Final Fantasy 14 is obviously not on PlayStation 5 either, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it
14,
is.
Yeah.
Was it on 14?
It was on 4 as well. Always, yeah.
Yeah, it was on PlayStation 4.
I'm saying like a specific PlayStation 5 version. There has been a 4 version.
I think that they, I don't know, but I think that they have done an update for next gen systems.
Okay, so they did a PlayStation 5 like up the like, you know, glow up. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
so technically it's on PlayStation 5.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like in general it's sort of a case by case basis.
PS5 upgrade edition, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's a sort of a case by case basis.
Oh, that's 16. Damn, these fucking, I'm sorry, man. It's just these goddamn Roman serial numbers. But yes. Final Fantasy 14 PS5 upgrade edition, and it's free upgrade too. So that's good.
I think in general, when it comes to with Square Enix and Xbox, I think it's going to be a case by case basis thing. Whether you know Sony had paid for some sort of exclusivity to it, but we'll see about what happens on the, because there's other games that did come out on Xbox. Those two, didn't that other Final Fantasy game come out? Final Fantasy Zero, 1-0.
Yeah, like the PSP game, right?
Well, that one didn't. The other one come out too. It was like a recent one where it's essentially like it was not the boy band game, but the other one. There was that one, the one that Brian was playing. It was like everybody.
Oh, the one where it's like where the dude was like wearing like headphones and shit.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. What about it?
Didn't that come out on Xbox?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Which one? With headphones? What?
It's the one that, like, it's one of the only Final Fantasy games to sort of bomb.
I don't think it bombed. I think it did okay.
Did it okay?
Yeah,
okay.
It was just stupid. People in the chat, let us know. You know, the one that's like whatever. A Dark Souls game.
Yeah.
If it bombed, it's probably on Xbox.
Damn.
I would think it did.
No, people, liked it generally. It's one of those games where, like, I'm the guy that's the outlier. Origins, yeah. It's not, it kind of Origins. Let me look it up. But yeah, it's like the it was like weirdly emo and gruff and shit. Like it just had a early 2000s vibe. And even it's early like 2000s look too. The game looked fucking hideous.
A Final Fantasy, it was like a prequel to Final Fantasy 4. Final Fantasy 1?
Yeah.
I thought
Stranger of Paradise. Yeah, it was.
I thought Gobez was in that and shit.
No. This is a prequel to Final Fantasy 1.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was. I mean, I only played the demo. It was fucking terrible. All right. Moving on here. Mob hits. Right. Will Starfield break sales records like Halo 2 did? No, because you can play it on Xbox Game Pass. So, no, it won't.
Yeah, unless everybody just foregoes their Game Pass and then just decides to buy it.
Yeah, so no, it won't.
They actually do give you the option to buy it though. Like whenever you you're on Game Pass, give you the option, but I don't think anybody's going to be pressing that button.
Yeah.
I specifically did press that button for Hi-Fi Rush. So, because I was like, you know what? Let's give him some money.
I want to support the game.
Yeah. So, but I did it after I had already beat the game. I was like, there you go.
You did better than those fucking PC pirates, you know? All right. Another one here. This question's kind of interesting. So let me just finish it because I know somebody's going to try to jump in the middle of it. Xbox influencers allegedly admit that Microsoft informs them of bad news before it happens so that these influencers can prepare fans and spread good PR for said bad news. Will this be the norm in gaming moving forward? All right, so I looked this up because I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? The only source I could see that apparently this is happening is from NeoGAF. So I'm going to call it already sounds preposterous that Xbox is telling influencers ahead of time about bad news so they could calm everybody down when the bad news hits. That is conspiratorial as fuck, you know? And it aggravates me that people buy into this shit and believe it, you know? Like, you know, just like, oh, you guys are paid off. You know, that it's that same type of mentality. So unless somebody can give me a credible source on this, I'm going to call BS.
I will say this. Really
fucking dumb.
I will say this, and there should be a distinction between Microsoft contacting influencers about this kind of stuff and influencers who have connections within Microsoft that could potentially give them information. So there's two different types of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of them, I'm pretty sure most of us can believe exists. You know, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of Xbox influencers that know people within Microsoft that could get information. But, you know, as far as you know, Microsoft having their line of of influencers, you know, providing, you know, shields to bad coverage.
Yeah, fucking this is preposterous. Absolutely preposterous.
They would need to provide people doing this.
Give me a link, not NeoGAF. Fuck NeoGAF. Piece of shit site, you know? But again, just on the face of it, like, this is that conspiratorial bullshit that I'm sorry, that gamers love to buy into, you know? It's aggravating as shit, you know, that this is just going on. Oh, yeah, he was just paid off. That doesn't fucking happen, you know? Anyway, moving on.
Yo, man, they're paying off. They give
every time, man. Every time. I just one fucking idiot, and this wasn't even a gamer, right? Somebody emailed me, you know, because I failed to, in his eyes, I failed to mention that a tablet didn't have a micro SD slot, even though you don't see it in the fucking spec sheets, which he claimed I didn't list, and it was there, right? So he goes, how much were you paid off by this company to make that tablet look good? Are you fucking kidding me, man? You know? Idiots. Anyway, now I'm high-heated, so let's move on to the next question.
It's hilarious that the people think that people are all paid off. To be honest, I wish I was paid off.
I would have lived in the fucking projects for 10 years in the fucking gaming industry if I was being paid off, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, and then the thing about it is, like, okay, well, you want to talk about being paid off, you know, look at yourselves, because half those influencers are paid off. In fact, what do you think those fucking, you know, you'll literally hear a thing in the beginning of a video like, hey, this is brought to you by so-and-so. Okay, so that means you're getting paid by so-and-so, a video game company.
Yeah. I find you know what? I'll stop right now because I'm
just saying. Up.
Anyway. Right. Yeah, we'll move it on. Go ahead.
I just want to say, like, I find this happens, like, a lot, especially with conspiracy theories. And for me, the frustrating / hilarious thing that I think is getting Tony a little worked up is, like take the Illuminati, right? Like, you're like, okay, so the Illuminati are a thing. There's a big dark chamber somewhere made of marble and a vast underground whatever. And there's these dark spotlights shining on these hooded figures. And they're all secret old white men controlling the world. Like, no, motherfucker, that shit happens in a penthouse board or conference room, right? Like, this is the stuff that happens in high-rise America. They're not wearing cloaks. They're wearing suits. It's not in a secret basement somewhere. It's in a headquarters with investors and shit like that. Like, I'm not saying that there aren't powerful people pulling the strings and controlling the shit that you do in a very fucked up way. I'm just saying they're not wearing boogeyman masks while they're doing it. And when the problem becomes, like, when you're looking for when you're looking under the rug and behind the curtains for the person who's dangerous in the middle, the monster. Meanwhile, there's a guy standing in your living room with a fucking gun. Like, you're being oblivious towards the problem.
That's the thing. They believe that there's boogeyman everywhere when the boogeyman is sitting them right in their fucking face and looking at them. The boogeyman is the person that, you know, they're literally right there in front of you. So
they're not sitting around being like, how can we steal money from your bank account? They're like, this costs $10 more. Don't ignore the threat and the monster right in front of your face because you're so focused on finding the one that's hidden in the shadows. Because, like, yeah, I think that I can't speak for Tony, but for me, that's why I get frustrated when I hear this kind of thing. I'm like, okay, look. That sounds incredibly unlikely, right? And I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, this shit doesn't exist. Because, like, yeah, I mean, like, shrinkflation exists. Companies get together and decide if they give you two less Doritos, they can save X amount of money and make X dollars for their fucking new golden yacht, and you won't notice. Like, yeah, they bring in psychologists. They are fucking devious when they figure out how to get every last penny from you. So when you're looking at games...
Yeah, go ahead.
When you're looking at games that have, like, oh, look at this, like, the Battle Pass for Diablo gives me 666 free platinum. Oh, lol, that's funny. Yeah, that also has a team of psychologists who have gone in and figured out the breakpoints where, like, they can give you enough but not enough to buy something so they can steal money from you, so then you feel invested, so then you spend more money. Like, you can sit there all day and be like, oh, they're out to get me, they're out to get my wallet, because they fucking are. There's people whose entire job, they went to college for this shit. They from a young child somebody was invested in psychology, and they went and they got good schooling, and they studied, and they did a fucking doctorate on behavioral studies, and they got hired by a game company so that they can figure out how to squeeze another fucking dollar from you. They went through all that shit. So yeah, that's not ridiculous. This kind of conspiracy theory kind of is, though.
Yeah, it's silly. By the way, I was going to say, Brett, shrinkflation, man, that's a real fucking thing, man. The other day I was making myself hot dogs. I'm like, you know, there was a time when the hot dog actually went outside the bun. Like, it used to be bigger. Like, God damn it. Fucking shrinkflation. Like, and also, when I order Chinese food back in the day, there would be so much in there that I would have to be like, okay, I'm going to leave some for the next day. I eat the whole thing in one sitting now. Like, it's because there's so little of it. I'm like,
well, but that's also depends on the Chinese food place that you're ordering from. You got to order from the one in the poor neighborhood, one in the rich neighborhood.
but shrinkflation is definitely real. It's like, I used to get more stuff before for less money, you know?
Yeah, they are against you, and there are a lot of them. They're just not hiding like you think they are.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. A sponsored question, Pete. Rob Your Death, once again, is sponsoring Mr. Mob Hits. Extra question. A question is, would a new Sonic game have saved the Sega Saturn? Mob Hits, you got this from Sega Lord X, because that's his latest video. I haven't seen it yet, but it's got recommended to me. The answer is no. Absolutely not. The Saturn was already doomed, man. And I'm saying this as a huge Sega Saturn guy. That system was doomed from the jump. For many reasons, so a singular game would not have done it, right? Let's have fun. Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think it would have saved it, but I do think it would have been a step in the right direction. Like, especially if they launched with a Sonic game,
that would have been nice, you know. But again, even before launch, we had problems, right? The 32X had already come up before that. People were like, "Why the fuck am I going to buy a Sega Saturn when I just bought this shit?" Right? The Sega Saturn was notoriously difficult to develop for. Right? Believe it or not, on paper, it was actually stronger than the PlayStation. But guess what? The PlayStation was easier to develop for, and it was easier to make 3D games for. The Sega Saturn was made as a 2D system, the ultimate 2D system. That's why the 2D games always came out dope, right? But very few third-party developers could actually manage to rein that horse in, you know? What the fuck's going on in the background back there?
Malcolm?
Yeah. Anyway, so you have that, the price. Yeah. Yes, Blitz, exactly. $299. Remember that shit? Okay, for you guys who don't know, right? E3. Was it 1995? That was the first E3, right? So Sega comes out, right? You know, they had their Sega Saturn presentation. It was great. Systems coming out, right? What the fuck was the price? It was like $499 or something like that. It was expensive, right? Sony comes out afterwards. You're expecting this whole big fucking press event. My man goes up there. I forget his name. Goes up there. $299, walks off stage like a fucking G, you know, killed the Saturn instantly right there, you know, it was crazy. The Sega Saturn, my beloved Sega Saturn, was always doomed to fail in North America. It obviously did extremely well in fucking Japan because it was like the ultimate JRPG machine over there. People love that shit. As a matter of fact, this is how crazy they were for the Sega Saturn over there, right? When they announced the Dreamcast in Japan, a lot of players were like, why the hell do I need another Sega system? Or I got a Saturn. That's how much they loved that system. But in America, dead on arrival, you know, unfortunately.
That's why you need to not launch a system that is region, like, that is region specific for success. Don't launch a system that you know is going to do well in Japan, but might not do well like in the West. Like, launch one system for everywhere instead of being like, oh, let the 32X hang on in North America and release this here.
Yeah, it was bullshit. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, $399. The Saturn cost $399. Sony literally just had to go $299. That was the whole conference. That was literally their entire press conference that year. $299. My man walks off stage. You know, it was fun. That's baller
they
shit.
They know right how there to do shit.
Yeah, that's baller shit. You know, $299 bounce. You know, all right, moving on here. And the last question of the night: who is this guy? I think this guy has two names. You either know him as Bored or F It All. You know, we don't know what he wants to call himself tonight, but that's who's asking this question here. And the question
is infamous.
Yeah. Right. Question is, now that Path of Exile 2 has shown its hand with its recent announcement, will it be a threat to Diablo 4, and will more competition be good for gamers? For no reason whatsoever, I'm going to let Brett handle this one.
So, if you guys didn't notice, they did Path of Exile just had their little con. It was like PathCon or something like that. And they made some pretty big announcements, showed some new gameplay trailer, which looked fucking okay. Well, fine. That's cool, too. Bounce and all my shit. That's how much he don't give a shit. Anyway.
Damn, he said, fuck that. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway. For those of you that don't know, like, originally Path of Exile looked like they were gonna kind of do a glow up. And Path of Exile 2 was kind of more like Path of Exile 2.0. They have actually changed directions, thrown more investment, and they're doing a full-blooded, gigantic fucking sequel now. It appears that their response is emboldened by the lack of success with Diablo right now. And it just looks like they're bringing a lot to the table. So, for instance, Diablo has 5 starter classes with 3 subclasses like each, right? This game is starting with 12 subclasses, like 5 subclasses. It is bringing a lot to the table, seemingly in direct contrast to what Diablo is doing. Everything feels like a, oh yeah, watch this. Or, oh, think I can't do better? Hold my beer kind of situation. So, but it's weird because, like, Diablo's never really had competition. I don't know that Blizzard is ready or used to dealing with this, but amongst the community, even, like, this thing is nipping at their heels, and it would be kind of a big deal if somebody unseated Diablo, but, you know, in the ARPG scene, because before it's happened, but it's always happened while, like, Diablo is nowhere to be seen, right? Like, it's like, I conquered the castle. Yeah, it's because the king left 5 years ago. It's still a victory, I guess, but did you really beat him? So I'm very interested because there all of a sudden seems to be competition in the ARPG scene, as there's a lot of people kind of getting their feet wet and getting pulled into it. So I think this personally could be really interesting. And, you know, me and my view on, like, direct competition usually produces excellent results for us. So I'm very interested to see them directly take on Diablo. I am curious what you guys think, along with this other guy.
I don't have an opinion. About the I'm guessing the rest of the guys don't care either.
What was it? I cut off for a second.
Path of Exile. Do you think it could take on Diablo 4?
Yep. Short answer, or short long. The short dirty version is, there's a game that's coming out just like Diablo with more shit. Is this good for competition?
Well, yeah. I mean, is good. So
yeah.
And isn't Path of Exile free to play?
Yeah, right now
I can answer. Yeah, competition is obviously good, but again, I don't personally have a stake in this because I don't care about Diablo 4 or Path of Exile. But if something wants to take on Diablo 4,
play that type of game.
Yeah, I don't care. Like, when I saw that trailer you posted, as soon as I saw the overhead isometric view, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. You know, I was done.
I mean, to be honest, I definitely think that is good for competition.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, to be honest, though, I would have to say to them, is like, why the fuck did you wait so long? Why did you wait until Diablo was out in order to come out?
Well, this is Path of Exile 2, so remember.
But yeah, it's like being able to see the Independence Day ship coming toward Earth and not preparing.
Well, I think they were. I think that they were, because what happened was they came out and basically they did dethrone Diablo in terms of, like, games, but, like, it being played. Diablo hadn't been seen for years. Diablo 3 left a lot to be desired.
It was also free to play.
Yeah. And so it came out of, like, we're doing the Diablo 2 thing. We're doing free to play. We're going to scratch that edge that nobody's had before. Like, and so it became really successful. And then Diablo 4 kind of comes out and took part of its player base back. And their response is, oh yeah, look what we've been working on, and showed some seriously, like, I don't know who this studio is, but man, they feel like they've got some strong AAA chops. Like, I can't deny the fact that, like, Path of Exile probably does look better in almost every aspect than Diablo. Diablo's a fine looking game, Like, there's some fucking talent in that crew to be able to do what they're doing. I don't even know how big a company it is, but if you looked at that, you would be like, okay, this is being made by a pretty big powerhouse team, I feel like. Unless you're like Tony and just don't do the isometric thing, which I would say.
Tony's like, you know, Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive. I don't care.
Yeah, pretty much. Tony has a very specific type of game that he likes, and this isn't it.
Yeah, with isometric games, they get grandfathered in. Like, obviously, the fucking first six Final Fantasy games are all isometric. I'll play those all day, every day, you know. But like new games, nah, I'm good, you know. But it's not even the view is a problem, but it's like also the gameplay. It's like that loot, you know, loot grabbing stuff. I'm like, nah, I'm good, you know.
Tony doesn't like build crafting. That's the other thing I've kind of noticed. Like, Tony is the antithesis of theory crafting. If you have theory crafting in your game, it's a game that Tony's probably not going to like. He likes being told what kind of class he is, and he likes using just the most efficient buttons. He doesn't want to build a crazy class around being able to move twice as fast and cause bleed damage. Like, that's all just noise to him. But
well, Brett, to your point, remember when we were playing D&D, you built this crazy dragon mage guy for me with these crazy powers. I was unhappy with the guy. Then you made me literally a dwarf with an axe, and I was happy as fuck. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He only did two things, drink and kill. I loved it. Like, it was great. That's all I need to do in a game, you know? So yeah, I'm not into all that crazy stuff. Again, Mass Effect, everybody's talking about, oh, yeah, I'm building this Shepard. Like, I'm playing the guy in the box, you know? you know, come on now.
I only played the guy on the box because every single thing
they look bad too.
Creator mode will look like a fucking freak.
Yeah, but again, it's like, I can't get lost in the story if I'm playing as some weirdo. It's like, I want to play the guy in the box or the girl in the box, you know?
Well, I mean, perfect example, man. Like, I'm playing Remnant. I've got a little bit more of a handle on it. This game is awesome. It's third person narrative action adventure, like everything Tony likes. But Tony would hate this game based simply on the fact that, like, here's a perfect example. Tony, you get two classes in this game, so you can mix one class with another one to create your own custom result.
Okay, can I just pick one class and be done with it?
See, there it is.
Yeah,
In the most simplest terms, that's one of those, like, Tony's like, why would I need two classes? Just tell me which one I press the button which one pressing X fucks the other guy up. I'll do that.
Yeah, pretty
much. It kind of feels like your dad a little bit. And it's kind of funny, like, but it's just the type of game. Meanwhile, if you tell me that there's no customizing a character, I kind of instantly check out and everything turns to white noise. Like, we are polar opposites in that. And that's okay. It takes all types. But, like, the heart of any ARPG is one of those, like, no, it is kind of an action arcade game where you build the kind of character you want. That's just out for Tony and people like him. And that's okay. But that's when people like me tune in. You can be like, well, here's all the problems with the game, but you can mix as many classes as you want to make whatever kind of character you want. And I'm like, oh, wow. So I can make a character specifically around, like, making people twist their left ankle. That's the more specific, the better. Let's do this shit. So, I think that I hope that the ARPG crowd, though, they seem to be bigger than I thought. Like, I thought for the longest time most people were Tonys. Starting to seem like there's a few more Bretts in the crowd, though. Like,
I'm kind of an outlier. I just like my shit simple. I think most people like a bunch of choices, but that's also why we have fucking every game be an open world game, you know. So everybody wants to do everything.
It's like RPGs, right? Like, don't half-ass it. Don't give me three branching skill lines that do nothing but slightly change the flavor or color of my attack that don't mechanically change anything. Like, if you're going to do that, just don't do it. Stop with the fake RPG bullshit. Stop with the fake open world. Like, if you don't have a reason to have an open world, don't have an open world. Have a semi-open world. It's fine.
Would you say that for Tony's preference not that there's anything wrong with that? Yeah. To quote Seinfeld, not that there's anything wrong with that.
I mean, yeah, less derogatory. Like, I think there's a lot to be appreciated. Like, Tony likes the kind of big dramatic big budget thing. I think there's a good appreciation for that. Like, Tony appreciates quality. Tony appreciates effort and success being brought to him. Like, I like a good idea. It doesn't have to be fully fleshed out. And I still love those things, but like, grand pageantry isn't as stunning to me or important as I think it is to a lot of people. For me, I like taking something and being able to twist it and see how far I can twist it before it breaks. So I feel like I'm kind of the outlier there. I think it's perfectly reasonable to be like, oh, there's giant explosions, a cool ass story, and dope fighting mechanics. That feels like enough for most people, I think. I'm starting to realize with games like Diablo and Remnant, things like that, like this idea of like really building something seems to kind of be coming up more to the forefront, right? I'm not sure if it's just that we're starting to get more options that fall in this, or if it's something that's hooking and it's going to become more of a thing in games. I kind of hope it does. Like, I love the idea of them being like, here's all your options, build something till it breaks.
I see what you mean, because I was going to say that I feel most games these days have too many options and it gets annoying. But no, you're right. They don't have like literally do whatever you want, because those options are just, they're numerous, but they're not deep, right? But you want like actual deep shit. You know, you're right. Those kind of games are actually more rare. So I agree with you on that, in that standpoint, you know? By the way, Brett, I don't know if you remember, this is from years ago, and I remember the specific circumstances, but you were kind of making the same point about how, like, you know, some people don't, you know, they like some things that are more complex. So you were like, that's like liking, a pepperoni. That's not like, you know, a full pizza that's only half pepperoni, half cheese. I'm like, that's my favorite kind of pizza. Like, okay. That's like liking vanilla ice cream. I'm like, that's my favorite ice cream. And then you stopped when you came to black coffee. I'm like, that's my favorite too. I'm that guy. Like, what is the most efficient shit? Every time I go to a new restaurant, I'll look at the menu and get the same thing every time. Hamburger and french fries.
But that's the thing. That's 80, in my opinion, that's like 80% of people. Like, the people going to Starbucks and getting the triple, like, and that's probably a poor example. Most people get really ridiculous shit from Starbucks probably, but like, most people are there for the burgers and fries, right? It's the new triple third pounder with blue cheese ranch Western Tex-Mex melt or whatever the fuck is the new thing that they're advertising on the commercial. But people are just there for hamburger and fries most of the time. I think that that's still the vocal or the silent majority.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's just some of the people I hang out with, they get some weird shit.
I think that,
by the way, if you go to Starbucks and you ask them for a black coffee, they're gonna look at you like you're a fucking alien. I've done.
Yeah, I realized halfway through that analogy, I was like, nah, that ain't gonna work.
Yeah, no, I tried it. I'm like, can I get a black coffee? They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I had to actually name black coffee, whatever their specific name for black coffee. I had to name it that so the moron behind the desk could actually figure it out, because he couldn't use his brain that I wanted regular fucking coffee, you know? Idiots, man. You know, by the way, I'm also the guy, when I got fries, no, I don't need ketchup. I'm good. You know, oh, so what kind of sauce do you want a steak? If the steak needs sauce, that's a bad steak, you know? Anyway, go on, man.
I think the thing about it is that, you know, when it comes to those type of like RPGs, I think the one thing about it is that they're always they're still trying to catch that audience. They're still trying to catch the enthusiast that likes that sort of game. And that's directed at a regular player, at the general market. I think I think a lot of times though, when you try to play both sides, it doesn't work. You know what I mean? It's precisely why Final Fantasy has evolved into what it is. It went from a game that was very much, you know, about stats and weaponry and all kinds of other things to something that's just more like, hey, look, you press the button and it does a thing. Yeah. And I think that's like, you know, like that's, I think that's the way to understand it with Tony. And to be honest, like, you know, like with Brett, like the thing about it is like, he's not going to want to do any of those additional things unless it's something that will improve his success rate. So
it improves the success rate, but I still don't think Tony would like it.
No, I'm not going to like it. It's one of those
Diablo. This is the deepest choice you'll get. Does this axe hit Art harder? Yes. Yeah. I'm taking that axe.
Yeah, when I like when in RPU, when you go into the weapon shop and stuff, like I like like, okay, that's green, I'm going to buy. Oh, that's red? Like, if I, even if one stat is like green, 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 red, red, I'm like, okay, no, it's not good. You know, it has to be all green, you know, or nothing.
Yeah.
You know, keep it nice and simple. You know, yeah, like, and I know I could start mixing stuff like, oh, if I get this weapon with this shield, it'll counter. I'm like, I'm not trying to do all that, man. Just give me the strongest shit. I want to go out and kill stuff.
You know? Meanwhile, I'm over here like doing long division. I'm like, okay, so this thing gives me a bonus when my health is below 50%, but this thing gives me a bonus, but its negative is that I can't raise my health above 50%. So that's going to key in this special talent that does this thing, which gives me invulnerability and a 25% shield from my base max health. And then I come out like half health with gloves, like giant claws that are on fire, and I one hit a boss. Like that's, but I love that shit. I love sitting there and being like, you know, like having the whiteboard up, and you're like, well, if I do this and I divide it by this, that puts me into the X state, which I could trigger the special attack by doing this. Tony's like, I want the biggest axe you have.
Yeah. So, or the strongest axe, my friend.
Strongest axe. You know? Strongest axe. Strongest shield.
Strongest axe. Most powerful shield. That's why in games I look like a fucking idiot because I'm not dressing. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the shit that has the better stats. I'm going with that. Even if I look like a moron, you know. Go ahead, Manny. And then last thing, I don't know why we're psychoanalyzing Tony over here. You know.
So one question, yeah. Tony. Like when in Final Fantasy VII, did you end up using the Knights of the Round, the mimic Knights of the Round trick, where you have one character that has Knights of the Round, and then the rest of your team has a bunch of mimic material?
Oh no, I never did that. Would
cop- okay, yeah.
No, I never. I know about. It. I never tried that. Like, no.
I did. Yeah.
That's a great example.
What's that?
That is a great example, though, of like
He brute forced it.
Yeah.
Like in other words, his characters were just like they just beat.
Yeah, I just leveled everybody up to the maximum. That's what I did. Yeah. You know?
Now, see, I did mimic Omni Slash for everybody. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't just Knights of the Round. You could change some other material to heal you when you cast it as well, so you could heal the whole party, and then they keep casting it. I did.
Yeah, they keep casting it.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Jay Shep goes, I will say most people that play these games are like Brett. I played Elder Scrolls Online and everyone I met on the game was like Brett. You have to be successful in the game and be picked up to do raids with other gamers. That's my experience too. Most guys are like Brett, but I also hang out with a bunch of fucking gaming nerds. So my view is skewed, you know. I'm like, to me, Brett, most of the guys I met are like you. They love doing all that crazy shit. I'm the weird outlier, you know? But look at my company, right? Fucking gaming nerds, the people I love, obviously. All right, I think we're done here, man. Another good show. Let us plug some things. I will start off. I want to plug the latest episode of Throwdown Interviews, where Manny and I interviewed Mr. Khalif Adams of Swanami. Great. This is one of the best fucking podcasts I've ever done. I hope you guys check it out. It's all over on YouTube right now. I will have the MP3 version for you Tuesday because I'm going to have the Jordan and Minor one up tomorrow. Sean Daly hooked it up, Manny. We're good. We got the music. You will also hear new music.
Yo, let me hear that. Yeah. I haven't even heard it yet.
I haven't heard it either. I just got it during the show.
Oh, okay.
I haven't heard it either. He just sent me the Dropbox links. I'm like, oh shit, let's go. You know?
All right.
Yeah, Blitz, trust me, bro. You're going to love it. All you guys are going to love it. Great, great interview. I had some just random people hit me up today. It was like, you know, that I didn't know listen to Throwdown. I'm like, hey, this was an awesome interview. You know,
no, we got it was a really good one. Like again, we don't physically get to talk with Khalif every single day. But as soon as you get us in the room,
that's it.
It's just like no time has passed. It's like family. You just like you haven't seen a family. You get in the room. There we go. We know it. We got it.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was some really good things in there. Like, you know, he being a really humble guy, like he like literally there was one point that he was, you know, he did admit it. He was throwing some shade at Hip Hop Gamer. But he literally took it back and he actually sent Hip Hop Gamer an email and said, listen, you know, I haven't been fair to you, you know, yada, yada, yada. Literally sort of, you know, again, like I feel like a lot of people don't do that. Where they essentially call, you know, like they're constantly going out there sort of, you know, being, you know, doing this stuff, but never really coming back and saying, wait, am I doing this? Am I being the issue? And literally come back and say, yo, I want to fix this. I want to do this right.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Really great, great interview.
Yeah. So I hope you guys check that out. That's up on YouTube right now. Go check that out. And yeah, that's going to do it for us. We'll have another one soon. Probably not this week, but we'll probably have another one the week after that. I think that'll be a lot of fun too. So stay tuned.
We're sort of figuring out what kind of scheduling we want to do it, because I also think we also want to sort of put a bunch of stuff in the can, like, so that we can continue to keep rolling through.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got some cool people coming up. So yeah.
Oh, Manny, stuff. Real quick, just for you. And remember, Manny's not always on Discord, guys, so that may not be the best way to reach him. So Jay Shep says, I tried to ask Manny to sign my copy of Turtles on Discord, but he didn't reply. So I guess you could talk to him and make that happen.
I'll go look on. Yeah, I'm not always on Discord all the time. A lot of times I'm there for work, but I don't see all the messaging. I'm really bad with that stuff. But yeah, I'll send you a thing. Yeah. I'll send you an email, or if you give me your email, I'll send you something.
Yeah, it's for Jason. He's not like me and Carlos. We're like, oh, what's going on in Discord right now?
Nah, man, I get what's overwhelmed with all the
right now. By the way, guys, just because I don't reply, I'm always looking, man. I'm always looking. You know,
I get overwhelmed when I get a lot of messaging. I just don't like all that sort of stuff. All this stuff just beeping and clicking and all kinds of junk. I hate all that. So,
yeah. But, I'm right there with you, Manny.
Yeah, you know? Right. Right, yeah, it's just like, come on, man! Just stop. Throw it out
the. Oh my god! Like, you have to have like 5 social media accounts. Yep. And, like, always be like, every social media account you sign up for is another job that you work all the time. Like, you can't log. You can't just be like, oh, I'm gonna take the afternoon off. No.
I turned off a bunch of the notifications on most of the stuff, like the Twitter notifications. I turned all those shits off. I turned off the Instagram ones. I turned off a bunch of ones. There's only ones that really, like, the text message one is the only one that comes through, and that's everything else, like Telegram or whatever other stupid messaging programs on. I don't have that set up.
Yeah. All right. Adam, what's going on with I'm Negan's?
Yeah, nothing right now. We just, everything is up. We're just waiting for the Daryl Dixon for that.
Daryl Dixon.
It hasn't been put on hold because of the strike, right?
No, they're still going forward with that. It still has a date coming up. They have a good schedule, but it's not within a few weeks. It's going to be some time. I think it's September. It's like the first week of September, okay, or something like that. So you got some time. But yeah, if you want to catch up on Dead City, that's all up there. So that's I'm Negan, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, of course, the Coalition. So that's it. That's what we got going.
Cool. Is there anything else we need to plug around here? Manny, Turtles.
There we go. Yes. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Ultimate Collection is out now. This is the show that I literally spent the about 10 years working on. So it's finally all out, every single episode, as well as the TV movie Turtles Forever. Though I'm going to warn people that are buying this. It's not a bad warning, but you'll notice that there's an episode 110 missing from this. That is not a mistake. That is an episode that we essentially nixed in production. It was there was some crazy shit that was happening on there, and Standards and Practices wasn't having it. So that is one episode that would have been cut out. And then there's also some other numbering things that might be a little weird. Don't worry, everything's on here. I checked it out, so we're good to go. And yeah, it's out there now. And pick up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 03.
It's coming.
Excuse me?
I wasn't paid by Nick to do that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you were paid off. You know? All right, man. Make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's 2 words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to previous episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
I'm not liking this new home screen for the Xbox.
Uh-oh.
I'm not liking it.
He's going back to PlayStation.
Yo, man, he's not loving it.
This is pissing me off. I'm real pissed.
Yeah. By the way, and Brett Murdoch.
Deuces, everyone.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just got thrown off because we got a last minute question in here. Jordan Staff, he's new. He asked, this is a video game asking question show, but he goes, what's the difference between a nerd and a geek? I think it's all the same now, man. You know, there used to be distinctions.
Generally speaking,
well, nerds are smart, right? Like
nerds are smart. Geeks are like obsessed about a game or a comic. They're geeky about something, but nerdy is like your book nerd. You're into
It's more general.
Nerd is overall. Geek is activity specific.
Yeah.
Also, you can be a nerd about a different subject. There are sports nerds. There's wine nerds.
Would those be geeks though?
No, I don't know about that.
Like you're a sports geek, yeah.
Yeah, Pacific,
thank you, Jordan and Steph, for following. Yeah, Brad, I think you're right. It's like geek is more like a lifestyle thing, you know?
It's when you kind of drill down into one thing. So, like, you're like, if you're a nerd, you love Marvel movies, or, you know, like, let's say, like, Bill is a nerd. Bill loves Marvel movies and video games and fantasy books. And Steve is a geek. Steve plays Warhammer every Tuesday and Thursday, and his entire living room is just miniatures. Steve is a Warhammer geek. Bill's just a nerd.
Now, Brett, which one of those guys would be the well actually guy? You know,
well, actually,
that's more of a nerd. The well actuallys are usually the geeks, man. The geeks will straight up be like, well, actually, all I do is live, eat, and breathe this, and you're wrong. In the first version of the novel that was released in 1952 on page 54, subtext E, they imply.
Like that Simpsons episode, in episode 4, minute 2, Xena had a sword, but in the next minute, she did have a sword.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the producer, when that happens, a wizard did it. But in episode 5, wizard. Jordan Staff, thank you for asking. That's what we're here for. We're here to answer questions. You should stick around, man. AMA special is going to be coming up this summer, man. So it'll be good times. This episode 450 is coming. 450! Fucking
450.
Jesus, 9 years, man. So, yeah, 9 years. Yeah, man. So it's coming, people. All right, people, we'll see you on Thursday. And go check out the Khalif Adams episode. Later.
Later.
Peace.
Peace.